We sit glued to the TV set all night
and every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of...
Hello and welcome to TV Times 3, episode number 71. I'm Ray from ramblingsofatvhorror.com.
I'm Jason the TVaholic from tvaholic.com.
And I'm Amory, and I'm... What? I forgot what I was supposed to say. And I'm Amory from mytakeontv.com. It's very early on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, I guess what we enjoyed recording early in the morning last week, so we decided to try it again.
Sure.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Yeah. Ugh. My dad is making breakfast, so we have to go through this. Okay, news. ABC has officially decided to not pick up Ghost Whisperer or New Adventures of Old Christine after CBS canceled them, ending both of their lives as TV shows. They didn't kill Jennifer Love Hewitt or Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
For clarifying.
So there's that.
And they didn't drop dead when they heard the official news or anything. So.
Exactly. So everything's fine. Cartoon Network is remaking, or updating the 1980s animated series, The Thundercats. I love Thundercats. Love Thundercats. I was a huge fan as a child. And then lastly, no one else cares about The Thundercats. A&E has moved...
Not that much to comment.
Right. A&E has moved the premiere of their new series, The Glade, to July 11th as a premiere date. So there's that. That's it for the news today. Not much going on in the world. I mean, that I care about on the TV.
Other than Thundercats.
Right. So today we're talking about...
It's quiet.
Exactly. We were talking about the season in general.
What?
Is everybody prepared with answers to these questions?
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm the one that wrote the question suggestions, and I had trouble trying to answer them.
Huh. Yeah. Some of them I'm like, well, I don't know.
But for the sake of, we'll allow multiple answers. Or
good, because usually I get yelled at for picking multiple answers.
Or, you know, a drama and a comedy or anything. We'll very lenient on the 2009-10 TV season roundtable here.
All right.
Okay.
First question. Everybody's favorite new show from the past season.
Favorite new show, Modern Family.
Jason?
I went with Community, but it was a close call with Modern Family, and then on the drama side, Justified.
Yeah. I want to pick, like, every single comedy on TV. This is my problem. And I go between Modern Family, Community, The Middle, Cougar Town. Like, I love all the new comedies. But I guess if I had to pick one... If I had to pick one, it would be... I can't do it. I just love the comedies. And, I mean, I love Justified, but I didn't really love any other dramas, like, to the point where I'm obsessed with them, like everything else. So, Justified. Show you gave up on this past season, I have an answer for this one. How I Met Your Mother. We are done. Everybody else?
Sorry, Amory.
It's okay. They did this to me. You didn't.
I gave up on both Fringe and The Mentalist.
See, I gave up on Fringe just because I didn't care to catch up, but I will watch it over the summer, where I won't watch How I Met Your Mother.
I won't. Yeah, but How I Met Your Mother, you could watch it anytime, and you don't have to catch up on it.
That's true. Jason?
This is the one that I had, like, really difficulty. I was trying to go through, and I can't think of anything, like, that I had been watching that I stopped watching this season. I'm trying to think of, I mean, other than things that are no longer around, I mean, but that's, the only things I could come up with were like Flash Forward, but that was more because you knew it wasn't coming back, and, you know, but that was a new show that I gave up on. I can't think of anything that I was watching last season that's still on this season that I stopped watching at some point in time this season. Nothing's coming. I went through like schedules and everything, and I couldn't come up with anything. So I put Flash Forward as my answer as the... I mean, that at least made it a season, but sort of gave up towards the end when... I kind of wanted to watch it, but I just... It was more of a, I knew it wasn't coming back, so there was no point.
New show you thought you would like but didn't. Everybody else first? Because then I have to think about it.
For that one, I put Trauma, but I didn't exactly hate that show. There were some things I liked about it, but and I even watched most of it. But it, I thought I was going to like it a lot more than I did.
Ray?
Community.
Do you really, like, really don't like it?
That I don't hate Community. No, I don't hate it, actually. But I that was the one show that I told everybody to watch that I thought I would really love, and not so much.
I'm drawing a blank.
There were no shows that you started that you thought you were going to like but didn't like?
There was a lot of shows that I started that I thought I was going to like and then didn't. I guess for me, it's V.
Okay.
Because I did watch the beginning and was like, oh, this will be good. But then by the end, it was just like, come on, really? So V is my answer. On the other side of the coin, what's a new show you thought you wouldn't like but did?
10 Things I Hate About You.
I love that show. Sad about it.
Really. Which technically, by the way, did premiere last like fall, summerish. So I'm including.
Oh, yeah. You're fine. Jason?
For me, it was The Vampire Diaries, a teen drama with vampires, given what else is out there in that genre. And even after, you know, as we've talked before, after seeing the first episode, I was like, eh. But I kept watching, and it turned into one that I did like, so.
I have to agree with that one, because I hated the pilot, hated it, and thought I wouldn't like it. And then I started watching, and it's an enjoyable little show. Most disappointing cancellation. Going into 2011, even though I knew it was coming, or 2010-2011 season, even though I knew it was coming, seeing Better Off Ted officially canceled, and we're never going to see them again, that bums me out a lot. And Ugly Betty was having such a great season, that bums me out too. So those are my two disappointing cancellations.
Yeah, mine was Better Off Ted, even though you kind of knew almost even before the second season came back that it was probably going to get canceled. But I was sort of surprised for the previous season. That would actually have been a show that I was surprised didn't get canceled, you know, that was brought back. But a close second would be 10 Things I Hate About You.
No, that's true. That was really sad.
Yeah, those would be mine too, actually.
Yeah. Okay.
I think I'm just more that ABC killed it more so than they canceled it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because they kind of sentenced it to death with the scheduling.
Agreed. Agreed. Show you can't believe didn't get canceled.
Oh my God, The Wretched Beast.
The Wretched Beast. Forever. It will live forever and ever and ever and ever. I will say this, and this. I can't believe, and only because I didn't want it to continue, that Supernatural didn't get canceled. I'm still stuck on this.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't put it in this category only because I'm not...
I'm not upset or like, right, what? Like,
I would have rather like, seen it go out, but...
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, The Wretched Beast, for sure. Rules of Engagement on CBS. How did that not get canceled?
Because it actually does pretty well.
Yeah, but it's not funny. And... 2 and a Half Men, but that'll live forever, too. I didn't expect that to be canceled. I just wanted it to be. Yeah. I don't know. There's a bunch.
That could have been... That's a different question. Show you want to get canceled, despite ratings, good or bad, the one show you'd like to see go. I ended up putting down V just because it wasn't doing very well either by the end of the season. People were talking about it's going to be this or Flash Forward, but they were both so doing so poorly that I was kind of surprised that didn't get canceled. I mean, there's other things that are sort of on the can't believe they didn't get canceled, except that I wanted them to be renewed so badly, and then it started to look more and more like that was a possibility, like with things like Life Unexpected and Chuck and stuff like that, that when they were finally renewed, that wasn't really a surprise, so I wouldn't be... Just strictly because of the ratings.
So that's our little roundtable discussion for the season. What are your thoughts, folks, on your favorite new show? Shows you gave up on, new show you would like but didn't, new show you thought you wouldn't like but did, most disappointing cancellation, show you can't believe didn't get canceled, and addendum, show you didn't believe didn't get canceled even though you hate it and everybody else in the world likes it. Parentheses, 2 and a Half Men. So it's time for a Glee. I mean, prime time. Okay, let's talk Glee. Season 1, episode 20 and 21, theatricality and funk. Let's just put in there. Could they have said funk more times in that episode?
I don't know what the funk you're talking about.
Oh! touché.
Yeah, even if you take it out of any song, like if it was part of a song, even if you take it out of that, it was still said
a lot of times. So theatricality is the episode, the Gaga episode is what they're calling it. I'm not a fan of Lady Gaga.
Shouldn't it be the Gaga slash Kiss episode?
Yeah, it really should be. It really should be. The Gaga slash Kiss episode. Now, I'm all for Mike O'Malley getting to prove to us that he's kind of amazing. But I agree in the situation with whoever I read that said this, that Kurt was not without fault in the whole situation.
Yeah, that I can see where the dad's coming from. Like, obviously, Finn went a little too far where he was. But Finn being upset in that situation didn't seem like it should be out of place. I don't know. I don't really know what to make of that situation, but it'd be like, what if it was a guy and a girl from two different families? You wouldn't be moving them into the same room.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a possibility of one being sexually attracted to the other, that seems like a bizarre situation to stick them in the same room to me.
Yeah.
And so I can easily see that Finn would have been upset by the situation, not just from that, but also from it being just sprung on him that all of a sudden he's, you know, moving out of his house and in with somebody else.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. Ray, what are your thoughts?
No, I agree. I think that I understood why the father had the reaction he had, because he doesn't really have that knowledge.
Right.
And I'm trying to withhold judgment if they deal with it at all in the finale, which I can't imagine they're going to, because there's just going to be too much going on, but maybe they will. I mean, you guys may already know this. I don't know if you've seen it.
Have not.
But if they don't deal with it, then I have serious issues with it, because it just sends the wrong message, I think. And I think that's something that writers are responsible for doing. And it just is an example of how they are pretty sloppy when it comes to their storytelling. Which, and I should clarify this, I enjoy the show. Like, I watch the show and I have fun watching it, especially now that Lost is gone and I'm not, like, trying to fit it into my night so that I don't get spoiled. So I enjoy the show a lot. So it's not really about me not enjoying the show. It's just that the story stuff gets to me. And I understand that that's probably my expectation coming in, that I expect it to be something a little more than it is.
Right.
But it does bother me, like, the lack of consistency. Not so much continuity, though that is an issue. They just lack a consistent characters from show to show. They lack, like, they don't follow through on something they've set up. You know what I mean? Like, we repeat a lot of the same type of lessons, which not so unbelievable when it comes to high school, because you do learn things over and over again in high school. But even still, in a show, it feels inconsistent, because it feels like, hello, we just did this last week. So I do have issues with it, but I'm trying to withhold my judgment, because it wasn't supposed to be. It was supposed to be airing this week, so theoretically, I would just have to wait till next week to find out whether they dealt with it. So I'm hoping that something comes out that Wendy Kurt isn't blameless. You know what I mean? Like, the show kind of says it. I don't actually care if it's addressed between the characters so much. I mean, I care, but I just want the show to acknowledge that they understand that Kurt is not blameless here.
Right.
And I wish they had just done something in that scene or something. I mean, people are saying that Kurt kind of had that look on his face, but I'm not sure it's true. Like, I think there were a lot of ways to read the look on his face. Like, I mean, I can believe that he would keep quiet because it's one of the first times his dad is standing up for him, you know what I mean, in front of somebody else.
Oh, sure.
So it's totally understandable that maybe he wouldn't say anything in the moment, but I don't think the show indicated later with his reaction to Finn, like in the school, was where, like, he was also pretty harsh to Finn. And I was like, well, if Kurt really understood that he was in the wrong, or the show was trying to tell us that they understood that, then maybe they wouldn't have done that scene. So I don't know.
Right, I'm with
you. I mean, I enjoyed the show. I didn't particularly enjoy this last week's
episode. And here's the thing. I'll say this. People are all, like, people read other people's reviews and are like, oh, I agree, so I don't like the show anymore either. That's not the case. And I think people should form their own opinions and stop letting other people's reviews and negative reviews change their mind. Oh, that's right. I do hate that show. It just bothers me. If you like the show, say you like the show. No one's going to be upset with you.
Yeah.
That's just a little aside that I had to put out there.
Something set you off this week, Amory.
Yes, yes. Music has not really been my favorite in the past couple weeks, but I did love Loser in the funk episode. I listened to that on repeat. I loved the little Marky Mark. I loved Beth, even though it was clear that they just wanted to come up with a girl's name and sing the song. And I really do hope
they needed to be a Kiss song.
Right. I really do hope that next season they write stories and then find the songs more than they are this season, or more than they are in this back half. I mean, they didn't in the beginning, or at least it didn't seem like it. So we'll hope
for
that.
Yeah, they did a better job of making it not seem like it if they were doing it.
Right.
So if that's what they did, I hope that they get back to that. And maybe they will, because they'll have a – maybe it's just time. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
During the summer, they have a little bit more time to – although that first season anyway, they had more time because they were not even on the air before they were really done with that first half of the season, not the first season. But
all right. So we shall see. We'll see what happens in the finale. I'm looking forward to it. Moving on. So You Think You Can Dance, Season 7 auditions. I said something on Twitter the other day about how, knowing that there's only a top 10 and they're going through this whole audition process, I don't care because I don't want to be invested in a character and know that even though there's hundreds of them, they're not going to be in the show. So it's like, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. I've never been overly invested in the audition shows anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not really into them. I cannot stand... They've done less of it this season, but I cannot stand the jokey, horrible dancing whatever.
Like the people who are so terribly bad in American Idol that they come in and sing and they know they're bad, but they get upset. Yeah, I'm with you.
Correct. And it's clear that the show just puts them on just for, you know what I mean, just to grab eyeballs, like just for the drama of it. So I think that's really why I don't like it too, like because it's a total manipulation of whatever. I don't respond well to that kind of, like, embarrassing moment anyway. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like it on TV shows. I certainly don't want to see it.
Right. Oh, yeah.
This type of show. So I'm not really into them anyway. But, yeah, haven't really cared as much. And I was at first. Like, I was kind of watching at first. But then I realized that I have no idea. Like, there's only 10 people. So then I found myself just trying to just their decision of who the highlight
Right.
Whether that person was going to be one of the 10, because surely some of the people that they wasted time on are going to be in the 10, right?
Sure, clearly. Though this show is notorious for not showing anybody, and then suddenly they'll be in the top 20.
True. Well, I mean, they had a bunch of people where they gave them a lot of time in that in episode, and then they didn't even make it any further. And I was like,
exactly.
Really?
Yeah.
So I've been watching, but I haven't, like, been watching carefully. And this past week, I missed, like, the first half or maybe the first hour of one of them. And I didn't go back and watch it because for the same reason, I was just like, whatever. It's not like I'm going to get attached anyway until the – I mean, I honestly don't know that I'll get attached with just 10 anyway, but
– Right, exactly.
Like, I don't feel like there's even time enough to get attached to one of the 10 in half the time I would normally have. So we'll see.
So we'll see. Indeed. We're already in Vegas, so top 10 should be announced this week, maybe. I don't really know. I mean, I read the spoiler, so I know who they are, but not everybody did.
Yeah, I didn't.
All right, so I think you can dance. Now we have Burn Notice, Season 4, Episode 1, Friends and Enemies. I did not love this episode.
Yeah, neither did I.
I was in the like-not-love camp, and... I don't know.
I wouldn't go as far as say I loved it, but I thought it was really good in parts. It just didn't do very well at putting them all together into a single episode with all the things that were going on between him coming back from nobody knowing where he was to the case of the week type of thing that he gets dropped in the middle of to the big sort of story arc that's set up for the season. All those elements didn't quite mesh well together to create a great episode overall, but I liked individual elements within those, and I really like what they've set up for the season. It seems more interesting than, at least while what happened at the end of season 3 was sort of like a setup to move into this, it was something that was super extended that didn't need to take as long, it didn't seem like. The last half of season 3, but what we've gotten to now for the beginning of season 4 looks to be, you know, much bigger and more interesting. And then moments between Michael and his mother on the show are just too good.
Mm-hmm. I just think that with adding this new character that they're adding, they don't do enough to service the other characters enough sometimes. So I think that that's an issue. I don't know. I can't explain or put a finger on why I didn't love it. I just felt disjointed and I don't know. Ray?
You know I didn't love it.
No, I know. I was asking why.
I know. For the same reason, because I felt like they tried to put too much into the episode. They should have focused on one or the other. I felt like there was no... And I feel this way about this show all the time, by the way. I never like their resolution to the cliffhanger from the end of the season. Like, it's like they... And I don't know if this is a network mandate or what, but it's like they have to get back to the call-in of the week way too fast. Mm-hmm. So they always resolve, like, they always leave you on this cliffhanger and then they resolve it like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's gone. Like, in a few weeks, he's back in Miami.
Right.
So, like, and it's like nothing has changed when he gets back. I mean, I guess something is supposed to have changed, but I feel like they didn't do enough to set up what has changed. So, like, even though he's back and I understand logically that something has changed for him, I don't really feel it. And I'm sure I will eventually. I don't know. I mean, I believe that they'll just get back to client of the week with a little bit of the serial stuff thrown in.
Right.
Because that's how USA shows work. And I'm okay with that. I have no problem with that. I just felt like in this episode, they could have given up the client of the week type of thing and let us get used to the situation or let us take a little bit more time to get him back to Miami so that we could have seen everybody without him and understood that they were worried and concerned. You know what I mean? I guess that's what it was.
Yeah.
Like, there was a lot of telling us what they did and not showing us. So it was hard to believe that they were, like, I don't know. Like, the Michael and Madeline scene kind of fell flat to me because I didn't. I mean, I remembered that she had the stuff in the police department probably would be enough for her to feel conflicted. But I just felt like we were just kind of thrown into that scene without any setup again of what had led to it. So it just didn't work for me.
I gotcha. So that's Burn Notice. I mean, clearly we'll all still keep watching, but I just think it needs to kind of surprise us a little bit.
It was almost kind of like they need to do like a 2-hour season premiere for the show where they could spend more time and then maybe towards the middle to the second half, maybe they get dropped into a case of the week type of thing or something. But the other elements have a little more chance to, I don't know, breathe or come together. Because a lot of that stuff, like him and the other guy on a mission down to another country and back, a lot of stuff just happened like super fast in the very beginning of the episode. And then he's back, and as soon as he's back, he's right in the middle of another case of the week. And then they sort of resolve that, and then he's got the finish of the first sort of job for the other thing. And it was so compacted in there.
Right.
And it was very segmented. They didn't all really flow together well for, the episode.
Excellent. So moving on. Royal Pains, Season 2, Episode 1, Spasticity. I really like this show.
Yeah, it's just a solid little show.
And I felt like, compared to Burn Notice, where Hank kind of went missing for a little bit, you did see Divya and Evan kind of struggling with the fact that they didn't know where Hank was, and they had to recover, and they had to take care of it, and they had to do Hank Med and all that kind of stuff. So you did get a little bit of insight into what they felt when he wasn't there. Folks, anybody? Thoughts?
I don't watch this show.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I thought, it's Kyle Bornheimer?
Bornheimer.
I never can pronounce it right. It was just a perfect guest starring role for him. He can just like fit right into that type of character. Granted, the things were being caused by something that needed to be diagnosed by Hank, and then ultimately, a big problem arises for him. But you know, the sort of spastic guy that can't really let up on stuff. I mean, he just plays in that type of role really well.
Mm-hmm.
And then I liked Marcia Gay Harden as, you know, somebody causing problems for Jill at the hospital.
Yeah, she was evil.
I liked in the show that they took a little bit to bring them back together. Bringing them back together felt right, even though they were back together, but not quite back together until the end of the episode. They were closer to being sort of forgiving for things that had happened. But I liked what they set up for each character, sort of the new problem for the season type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Jill's ex coming back last season, that was kind of one of the lame parts of, of last season, but them having their father come back, and I think while you barely get to see him, I think Henry Winkler is, again, perfectly cast to play their father, and the whole dynamic looks correct there. Yeah, I just liked all the where they put everybody, and even with the Divya, with her having accepted the proposal but still not necessarily wanting to have and still possibly moving. And so everybody had an interesting problem to follow for the season. And so I thought that
right.
the episode did really well to set up what the season will be, in addition to giving you a really good case of the week.
Right. Agreed. So I'm looking forward to it. And, oh God, the last episode on our list is another show Ray doesn't watch. And I don't know that I can ever speak to her again because of it. Friday Night Lights, Season 4, Episode 5, The Sun. I cried like a baby the whole episode. Whole episode I was in tears. I mean, it started at the end of last episode where we found out about Matt's dad. And it just bled through, like, so many scenes. I was just bawling, like, in the funeral home when he finally sees his dad. And when he's digging, you know, when he's covering up the coffin and he's having the freak out on the football field and, like, the freak out at the dinner table with the Taylors. Like, everything that Zach Guilford did in this episode was incredible.
Yeah, he was pretty amazing in the episode. And he's had some stuff like that before, so it's not, like, completely out of the blue.
Right.
But so much of the episode focused on him, and he carried it right through.
Right, right.
The whole episode. Yeah, right down to the end with taking the shovel from one of the workers at the cemetery.
And Amy Teagarden, I used to not give her enough credit. I used to think she was kind of the weakest member, even worse than Minka Kelly. But, oh man, is she delivering this season?
I think that show has done, their casting has been really good.
They got an Emmy for it.
That while they might not be great in the beginning, most of the characters, most of the actors that they've developed, you know, have gone from being newcomers to you've never really seen them in anything before to by the end, they're all, you know, for the most part, can pull off a lot of really dramatic scenes and do really good work. And so they definitely saw something.
Yeah.
A lot of potential in a lot of these people to be able to grow into these roles, you know, if a show were to continue on. And so from top to bottom, for the most part, the young actors on the show.
I will say that I can't stand that Becky. Can't stand her. But I think we're supposed to not. We're supposed to see she's like a complete different character than Lila. And
yeah. Mm. But also doing some pretty decent.
Oh, yeah. Doing decent work. I just can't stand the character. And who would have thought that Denise from Full House, Denise Michelle, oh my God, who would have thought she would be A, gorgeous, and B, just blowing me away with her quality of acting. I mean, she wasn't featured in this episode, but so far I'm very intrigued by her. And yeah, it's just incredible. It's just incredible. I think this episode rivals New York, New York for my favorites. New York, New York is the episode where Jason goes to New York, gets a suit, Tim and Jason buy suits, and then go visit his baby mama. So good.
That was a really good episode, too. Yeah, this definitely gave...
This is an Emmy reel. This is an Emmy reel.
Well, he's not exiting the show like at the end of that episode. It was sort of like some of the episodes they did last season.
With Gaius and, yeah.
Where people got, like, the exit episode, and they were all really good. I liked in this episode that they did have a little... Coach Taylor was watching football, and it was... Smash was running the ball on the play.
Yep.
That was a nice little throw-in.
Yes. So, Friday Night Lights. Love it. Love it! That's our prime time for tonight. Beth, I hear you calling... Anyway, summer series previews. Ray, have you watched any of these?
No.
So we don't want to spoil anything. But I will say this. I can't stand Nikki Blonsky in Huge. Can't stand her. Which detracts from the show for me. I love Anna Espinosa. So I'm like, ugh. I can't stand this lead character. How am I going to watch the show?
Yeah, considering she's the lead. She's kind of the lead. Even though it's sort of an ensemble, she's kind of the lead. At least in the story that they tell in the first episode. And yeah, she's not a likable character.
No.
Even by the story arc that goes through by the end, you're still. But for the most part, there wasn't anything that made me go, I want to watch this. So
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, much of the story was exactly what you would expect, whether it was a group of teen campers or a group of overweight teen campers. You know,
right.
The stories that take place at the camp are about what you would expect, and nothing within that made me want to go, oh yeah, I don't even want to check out another episode.
Yeah, that's how I feel. So that's that one. And then we also have Scoundrels starting June 20th. They finally made available a screener. I don't know what to say.
It was okay. It's got a great cast. That was one thing that, because I had heard a little bit about it or seen a little bit about the show, but hadn't really seen all of who was in it, you know, because they don't really show you a lot of who's in it in the, you know, the little commercials and stuff they're running on TV. But the cast is like lots of familiar people from lots of shows that if shows I've liked, like the 4400 and JAG and or Sarah Connor Chronicles and whatnot. But overall, it was okay. It wasn't terrible, but as I said on Twitter after I watched it, there's multiple better options in the time period.
Yeah.
You know, with things like True Blood, Drop Dead Diva, and Leverage, you know, heck, I'd even watch the next Food Network Star over.
I do watch the next Food Network Star, well, and I'm very excited for it.
I do watch that too, but I'm just saying, I don't watch a lot of reality or competition shows, but I'd even watch that over.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that on the...
Yeah.
On
yeah, I'm
one.
Not going to add my thoughts on it.
And then Sci-Fi also has on June 20th, they're having what they're calling a 4-hour movie event of The Phantom, which they are saying is reimagined and reloaded. And it is. It is reimagined and it is reloaded. It's just not that good.
What do you expect from a sci-fi movie?
Well, see, there's two sets of sci-fi movies. There's the Sci-Fi Saturday Night movie, which you expect to be not good for the most part. But then they have their sort of specials or miniseries or stuff like that that you kind of expect a little more from. And I think they might be expecting a little more from. I mean, they actually sent out the full 4 hours, the completed version, for it to be screened. And a lot of the stuff they send out is not finished. And so I got a chance to watch all 4 hours, well, 3 hours without the commercials. And so basically it plays from 7 to 11 on June 20th. Again, there's a lot of other stuff that's premiering either on the 20th or before the 20th that is much better. Granted, this will probably replay multiple times. I like some aspects of it, but some of it was just, you know, some dialogue and situations are really bad. And one of the things they set up for the new Phantom sounds like a cool idea, but then when he actually gets in a fight, you're looking at it going, it doesn't seem like it's actually happening. It just seems like a regular fight. And so you're like, where's the specialness that was set up a few scenes ago? Stuff like that just bothered me in it. So yeah, I can't necessarily recommend it.
All right. So that's our chat for the day, folks. That's really all I have to add. My dad's making breakfast.
Apparently Amory is hungry because we blew through this episode like you wouldn't believe.
It's not that I'm hungry. It's that I have family that is waiting for me. It makes me sound so horrible. And maybe we just didn't have a lot to say. Also, my dad makes breakfast every Sunday, and he gets upset when I'm not there because I don't live there. So it's nice for me to come over and enjoy their company.
And free food.
And free food. Because I certainly don't go grocery shopping.
All right. If you would like to comment on any of these things, maybe give us your... 2010.
I mean these TV things, not about the fact that I go to my parents for free food.
Well, you can comment on that if you'd like. I'll give you permission.
If you say anything negative, I'll cut you.
What you say is up to you and at your own
risk.
Comment
if you would
at your
like
own
to
risk.
Give us your favorites and not so much favorites from the 2009-2010 TV season, you can leave us a comment at tvtimes3.com.
Spell it all out.
Gus. Show again. Or, you know, all the other places. Our music, as always, was provided by iodapromonet.com. The song is TV Party by the Asylum Street Spankers from their title put out by Yellow Dog Records. And that, my friends, is it.
That's our show. Thank you. I wish I could go back to bed.
I'm sorry.
I'm about to go to bed, so I'll try and sleep for you.
Thanks. All right.
That really works.
I don't either.
If only.
It'd be incredible.
Wouldn't that be awesome if you could get somebody
get
else
so much more done
to sleep for you?
If you sleep with me, I'm going to do this. Oh, shit. Okay. I really do have to
all
go.
Right.
Bye.
Bye.
We sit glued to the TV set all night.
And every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of brews.
The record button has been hit.
So no bad mouthing anybody?
Well, you can if you want.
Okay. Let's go.
You're the one who starts it. Go.
All right.
Happy Sunday.
Hello. Oh, shit. Yes.